crime if we're willing to do something about it. There's an epidemic in this state in chemical dependency, and we're not doing the kind of things we need to do to address it. I would be delighted if there were general fund available for this function. I think there should be general funds available for this. And I don't like to take on the liquor industry lobby down here to try to squeeze out a few bucks to address a major kind of problem. That is not something that's politically fun to do. It would be much easier if it was in the governor's budget. It is not. The system is full. Let me take it. I know I'm going on. Let me just...
Just a minute. You've been going on quite a while now. And
let me just make one more point.
Pitch, but, okay, I'm not sure you're... Well, you sort of responded to the question in that you said, I don't know. But then you went... So don't make it too much longer.
Okay, I won't. I want to make one more point. We pick people up with the Cheers van who are incapacitated on the street. We take them to the sobering station, and we sober them under Oregon's public inebriate law, where we can hold them up to 48 hours. Then there's a five-day medical detoxification program to purge their bodies of alcohol, at which time they're ready to go in the rest of the treatment system. There isn't any treatment system available that isn't full, and so they revolve back on the street to start the process over again. There is not enough resource in the system.
I just want to ask one, I think, simple question. Did you make your pitch for it to be in the governor's budget, and to whom did you make that appeal?
You want to answer?
It's my understanding, and I assume someone will correct me if I'm wrong, but I think there was a decision package submitted by the Alcohol and Drug Program Division when the budget was being put together.
I guess that's the kind of question later I'd like to have a response to as to what you asked for and if it was done.
Okay, further questions?
I'm getting a yes sign. That was nice to know that it was an accurate statement. But there was a decision package submitted for a version of this program. So the pitch was made.
Good. Further questions? Okay, thank you very much. Senator Yee, would you please come up and let us know what your suggestion is?
Mr. Chairman and members, for the record, I'm State Senator May Yee from Senate District 19, and I thank you for your courtesy to allow me to testify now because we have a budget hearing going on. I'm here to make an amendment to your House Bill 3213. Before I make the amendment, I would like the opportunity to introduce to you people from Linn County today who are here to testify in favor of the amendment. And we have Linn County Commissioner Richard Stack, and we have Linn County Alcohol and Drug Treatment Director Betty Griffith, and we have Albany High School Vice Principal Ms. Elaine Wells, and Margaret Rickey, who is an officer from the Drug and Alcohol Abuse Program community group in Albany. He's a very dedicated member, and they will testify. They will testify shortly. I'd like to propose an amendment to House Bill 3213 to add 75 cents per barrel of tax, 75 cents tax per barrel on the malt beverage, so increasing from 260 at the present level to $3.35 per barrel on beer, and then 73 cents per gallon for wine, increasing it from 67 cents per gallon to 70 cents per gallon, and this will raise about $1.68 million to be used to fund 5 regional drug and alcohol treatment centers for adolescents, and this will come up to be about $318,000 per 10-bed center. Yeah. There's a real need for this kind of treatment. I'm not one that have asked for any increase in taxes before, but this is a recommendation from Juvenile Services Commission in Linn County, and I think it is a good idea instead of using general fund, which is has so much demands on it. We're going to ask for users' tax to fund for the treatment center. The people from Linn County will be here to tell you there's a real need for this kind of treatment centers. I'll be happy to answer any questions that you may have for me.
Question by committee members. Okay, well, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Mr. Chairman,
yes.
Can I ask one question? Do we have the authority to spend this money if we raised it?
That's a good question. The spending is in, the program is set up in House, in Senate Bill 1013. And so the spend, the spending will be done according to Senate Bill 1013. This is a funding mechanism that I would like to have to set up as soon as Senate Bill 1013 is passed. So it's tied to the program that's set up according to another Senate bill.
Is that accommodated within the current expenditure limit? Or do we have to be setting this aside outside or something?
It's not yet. I'm waiting for the passage. So the bill is now in Senate Human Resources Committee, and it will be sent to Senate Revenue Committee as soon as this bill is passed and comes over to Senate Revenue. Well, it's always a pleasure to visit my friends in the House, but I'm sorry I can't stay longer. I have to go back and do my work in Ways and Means Committee.
Thank you for visiting.
Thank you.
Okay, a little while ago when we were trying to find out a little bit more about whether the proposal in the bill had been discussed with the governor's office, there were some signals going back and forth. Is there anyone in the audience that, that is willing and able to address that? Is there anyone here from the executive department that is able to tell us where it might fit in the governor's plans? Okay. Anybody from the Department of Human Resources? Are you here to testify?
No, I'm not.
Okay. That means you do not advocate a position at this point, I take it.
You can't do it from the back row.
Yeah, could you just tell us who you are before you make your statement, please?
I know he does. I don't
you can take the Fifth Amendment if you want.
My name is Clark Campbell. I'm with the Alcohol and Drug Program Office of the Department of Human Resources. The requests before you today are not included in the governor's recommended budget, and therefore, as members of the exec department, we are not able to advocate for it.
Be kind to your question, Representative Hugo.
Earlier when Mr. Romaine was here, I mentioned to staff the study was done during the 83-85 biennium, I believe, as Representative Hale said, that was designed to look at all the different drug and alcohol treatment programs and expenditures in the state government. How many programs are there currently dealing with drugs and alcohol abuse?
I can't tell you how many there are in the state. I can tell you that we found, without hardly trying, at least 14 state agencies that were on their largely on their own attempting to deal with alcohol and drug abuse. We found 7 of them going into elementary schools, often sort of counterpointing themselves or canceling themselves as far as effectiveness. And that gave rise to the need for a more coordinated approach, which gave rise to a bill, House Bill 2124, the last session, and the creation of a thing, a non-governmental thing called the Governor's Council on Alcohol and Drug Abuse, to which some 16 state agencies must play ball. And that is composed of volunteer citizens who expect the agencies to cooperate with them. The agencies are predominantly in the Department of Human Resources, but not exclusively. Outside of Department of Human Resources, there's motor vehicles, state police, education, for example. 16 in total. There are several others that probably should be included. But that was the outcome from the from the clarity with which one could see that the agencies were not working together.
Of those agencies, are there programs funded through general fund appropriations or through dedicated funds such as alcohol tax?
A tremendous variety. Employment Division has its own unique funding, largely federal. Children's Services, Corrections, they all have their own statutes, mandates, marching orders, and funding that's unique to them. What, in effect, we were doing was attempting to look horizontally across otherwise totally vertically oriented channels of distribution. Corrections has a system by which it does business statewide, and so does employment. And an agency tends to be so preoccupied doing its business and tending to its channel that it doesn't tend to look left or right and notice that other people are doing the same thing. So this poses the horizontal question. When you look at what these agencies do or don't do with respect to somebody who does or may have an alcohol or drug abuse problem, you find that it's not quite the symphony that you might like it to be. You could equally ask the question, how do they do with a type of person, like a child? And you'll find that some are doing some things and others are doing things that almost cancel out the goodness of what the others were doing. An example, in the Employment Division, I think you would probably find this in workman's compensation. We found that the frequency with which people come and need unemployment insurance, the length of time that they are unemployed and need support, and the progressive severity of assistance and expensiveness of assistance they need is all worse when there is an underlying alcohol or drug abuse problem. And we began training staff of the Employment Division and other DHR divisions to the point where they could have learned suspiciousness as opposed to be diagnosticians. And where they saw, where they see, clues that suggest there may be an underlying problem in someone seeking unemployment, they will refer that person to one of the alcohol and drug abuse programs in the community for evaluation. And if that person indeed does have a problem, then the Employment Division will simply say, fine, we will give you your unemployment insurance and help you all you can as long as you participate in a treatment program. It is coercion, and the outcome, well, Ray Thorne could tell you that it's had a dramatic effect, the same in AFS, CSD, Voc Rehab. And as I say, I think we would find the same thing in workman's comp.
Would you tell me if, in fact, the department requested funds for the program that's being described today in the governor's budget?
We did, in our initial set of request or decision packages, as they're called, which would have been probably just about a year ago, the initial round of budget requests that we had did contain a request for funds for the purposes intended by 3213 and 3212. Not to the magnitude that's proposed here, but we did request some funds. We requested some funds for a variety of things, and as you know, not everything prevailed.
And how much?
Frankly, I don't recall.
Further questions? Thank you very much.
Your question.
Okay, at this time, Richard Stack and Betty Griffiths and Elaine Wells.
Good morning.
Good morning. Please identify yourself.
I'm here primarily to talk about Senator Yee's suggested amendment to 3213, but I would like to preface my remarks by saying that as a county commissioner responsible for spending those treatment dollars set aside by 2145, I strongly believe that the county's probably subsidizing those dollars as opposed to what might be a question in some committee members' minds as a question of having the county spend those dollars on something inappropriate for their use. I know that for our local alcohol, and drug treatment program, Linn County supplies the electricity, the lights, the building maintenance, and other costs involved with running our alcohol and drug treatment programs. So I don't think there's a question of the county spending that money inappropriately, at least in Linn County. Betty Griffiths, our alcohol and drug program manager, is here this morning. I defer to her to talk about the talk about the amendments to 3213, and also to answer any questions that the committee might have in that respect.
I think that you've had, my name is Betty Griffiths, and I'm the program manager for the Linn County Alcohol and Drug Treatment Program, which is an outpatient treatment program. I think you've heard a lot of testimony, probably from the Alcohol and Drug Program Office and from the people from Portland, regarding the dire need of alcohol and drug treatment for all segments of our population and the interrelationships between multiple family problems, employment problems, and other problems that really tax all of the services of the human resources of the state. And one of the reasons why I am very much in favor of Senator Yee's amendment in particular is that one of my real biases is to try and reach people early. There was some talk this morning about late-stage alcoholics and their needs, but we're talking now about the other end of the spectrum. We're talking about the adolescents and their needs, and these are children, even though sometimes they think they're adults and they try to be adults, who get into alcohol and drugs for a variety of reasons, and they do become chemically dependent. I know the first time that I saw a 16-year-old football player, by the way, who was still on the team, and all the data was in front of me that he was chemically dependent on alcohol, I went, no, this can't be true. There's no such thing. And I'm a professional. This was a number of years ago. Now I've experienced it numerous times, and I've experienced the frustration of not being able to find a place where an outpatient program, when someone's life is in chaos, they need stabilization. The type of program that is being proposed by Senator Yee is called a community intensive residential treatment program. That is a program where youth can go and live and get treatment for anywhere from 2 to 3 or 4 months. After that, they come back to their homes in the community and they receive ongoing outpatient treatment. So it really fits into what is real key in care of individuals, and that's the continuum of care, where they can get access a wide variety of services. As an outpatient treatment provider, again, I get frustrated because we have limited ability to deal with some of these problems because we're not a live-in facility. Sometimes there's a number of people who need that kind of intervention early on. And that's one of the major reasons I'm in favor of this. In terms of the resources in the state, they are extremely limited, as you've heard, both for adults and adolescents. And I think they're particularly limited in the area of residential care. There are private hospitals that provide care for adolescents. Often, number one, they don't need a hospital setting. Number two, the hospital settings are extremely expensive. I'm not saying anything about the care they provide, but they are very expensive. We're talking $5,000 to $10,000. And the average citizen, even under their insurance, cannot pay that bill. So for most people, that kind of care is really not accessible. In our region, for instance, there are 10 beds statewide for adolescents that are designated. They're part of the DePaul treatment program in Portland. And for our particular region, which is Lynn, Lane, Benton, and Lincoln counties, we have 2 beds for adolescents. We are very aggressive, and so we have managed to get 3 adolescents in a couple of years in those beds. So that says something about the limited resources. And I'd be happy to answer any other questions.
Okay.
My name is Elaine Wells, and I'm really wearing 2 hats today. I am vice chair of the Lynn County Juvenile Services Commission, and I am also vice principal at South Albany High School, and I am speaking for both of those groups as I speak today. To the youngsters that Betty talked about, Lynn County placing and treatment programs, all happen to come out of our high school. We have a very aggressive program of identifying youngsters who have substance abuse and working with their families to place them in appropriate treatment, not only in residential treatment, but also in the Lynn County program or private, whatever is needed to do that. I would like to, I work with these kids on a daily basis. I see the pain, I see the agony that they deal with, and I would like to share the story of one young lady who I was working with starting last spring and go through a scenario of events that has occurred with her to give you an idea of what we're really facing on an individual basis. As a vice principal last year, I was responsible for discipline and attendance for about 600 youngsters. I was working with this young lady, 16 years old, a sophomore, in the spring. Had her in my office in April and was dealing with a nosedive in terms of grades. Absenteeism was going up, the classical signs that we look for. And knowing a little bit about her family history, which includes a brother in the correction system for substance violations and a parent who is an alcoholic, I asked her if, in fact, that's what we were dealing with, if that was the problem. And she looked at me and, to my surprise, said yes. And I started asking how much, and it just started coming. And it was obvious to me, with my limited knowledge and certainly not a professional in the alcohol and drug field, that we had a major problem. I subsequently made a referral to Lynn County Alcohol and Drug. They did a formal assessment and decided that she, in fact, needed residential treatment for help. This occurred in April. At that point, Lynn County started actively seeking a bed for her. I was very happy that she was still alive and still wanted help in October. And if you take 6 months out of a 16-year-old's life who is chemically dependent and who is using heavily, you're real lucky that they're still around. She has completed that program. She is back in school and doing fairly well at this point. Whether she graduates, you know, is a question. She's a junior right now. But we're working hard to keep her in the program. But that's not a unique and that's not an isolated example of the needs that are out there for youngsters who cannot, whose families are not in a position with the insurance to provide the help. And so would like you, as an advocate for kids in this instance, would very much like you to address that issue.
Thank you very much. Questions?
If I could I make a few additional points?
Yes.
About Senate Bill?
We need to move along.
Okay. I would like to mention that the companion bill, Senate Bill 1013, does carry the wholehearted support of the Lynn County Board of Commissioners, as well as our local Juvenile Services Commission, our juvenile director, and others in the community concerned with this increase in alcohol and drug dependency among our youth. And also that it seems to me and many of us that work in our county that the youth most needing treatment are from disadvantaged homes and from family situations that could least afford to pay the $5,000 to $10,000 cost for private treatment for an alcohol and drug dependency. Many of those families have no insurance, and if they do carry it, a lot of the policies don't provide for inpatient alcohol and drug treatment. So we consider this a high priority in Lynn County for this program.
Mr. Chairman, thank you. Yes,
you just said that your county commission is in favor of this.
Mm-hmm.
I think we ought to ask everyone to keep in mind this is the Revenue Committee. This is not the Human Resources Committee. The issue for this committee, it has to do with the tax part.
Right.
Only.
Right.
Now, I want to ask you what it is that you just said that you're in favor of. Are you in favor of the program, or are you in favor of the tax? And then I want to ask you, if you're saying that you're in favor of the tax, then I want then I'd like to have you answer the question, would you be as much in favor of the program if you're, if the county was paying for it out of your general, out of your current funds? Or are you really saying we're in favor of shifting the burden to this tax and to the state? That's the question this committee, to some extent, should be asking.
I think that's a valid question. I don't think that we're talking about a shifting the burden of paying for a program from the county to the state. I think we're talking about providing dollars for a treatment that isn't available now.
Okay.
When I did mention that the county was providing, subsidizing its alcohol and drug treatment program, I should mention that we are at a time when our county specifically is asking voters to support a $1.45 million operating levy. Now, if that levy doesn't pass, in addition to making additional cutbacks in programs like alcohol and drug treatment, we might not have any sheriff deputies on the road for patrol. I think naturally, if you're going to support a program, you'd have to support the funding mechanism to go along with it. So to make it clear, I think that our county commission supports Senator Yee's Bill 1013 and also would support an increase in the beer and wine tax to fund that program through an amendment to 3213 that you're looking at today.
Mr. Chairman, let me ask another one just real directly. Are you as convinced of the need of this kind of treatment and so forth that if this bill fails, that you will find a way to pay for this program out of your budget?
I'd like to say we could, but Linn County right now employs about 60 fewer people than we did 6 years ago. The size of our general fund has shown no overall increase in the last 6 years. And it's very difficult to look at funding new programs when you've lost that high a percentage of your workforce. I would venture to say, without being disrespectful, that if the state had suffered that size, proportional size of loss in their workforce, if the state general fund had remained static, that you'd be looking at additional program cuts and changes that you haven't had to address, fortunately, in this state in the last 6 years. We're strong proponents of the programs that our alcohol and drug treatment department does provide now. If there was a way, I'd be glad to say that Linn County would support funding this kind of a program out of its own general fund, but I just don't think that's feasible looking at our financial situation now. We lost federal revenue sharing this year. We've suffered additional declines in our timber receipts, and when you're looking at declining revenues and additional program costs incurred through inflation, it's very, very difficult to look at adding new programs. And I think you're smiling because you've had to address some of the same problems here.
We don't even know what federal timber receipts are. You want to talk about sharing those, too?
Okay, well, thank you very much. We've got to move along. We've got other witnesses.
I would just like to make one comment, and that is the point that we're from Linn County, but these centers would be regional centers that would be statewide and would not serve just Linn County.
Right.
Okay, thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
Okay, Margaret Box, BAX. Margaret, I would like to have Richard H-I-N-S-H-A-M-S from Central City Concern.
Richard Harris.
Oh, Harris, okay.
Hi, my name is Margaret Bax. I'm a staff assistant to Multnomah County Commissioner Gretchen Kefauri. She's asked me to read a brief statement in support of House Bill 3212 and 3213 for her. I wholeheartedly support passage of House Bill 3212 and 3213. These revenue measures are critical to the success of statewide efforts to increase alcohol and drug treatment capacity. Increased funding for alcohol and drug treatment programs, particularly for late-stage alcoholics, has been on Multnomah County's legislative agenda for 3 sessions now. Capacity in our current system is grossly inadequate. You discussed that with Don Clark earlier. We believe that the increases in the fortified wine tax and the liquor licensing fee are appropriate sources of revenue to fund these overburdened treatment programs. Multnomah County has been working with the judges, the City of Portland, the business community, and social service providers to address a significant increase in the public inebriant population. We all agree that treatment programs, whether people enter them voluntarily or are committed involuntarily, are the best alternatives. Our other two are the streets and jails. The county supports the adoption of a medical standard to be used to commit someone to treatment who, as a result of their disease, is not able to care for themselves. That's the involuntary commitment Howard Klink referred to earlier. If legislation allowing the commitment of late-stage alcoholics to treatment passes, money will be necessary to fund that treatment. If those commitment measures fail, the increased revenue generated by these two bills could be used to fund the treatment for hundreds of Oregonians who are on waiting lists now. In Multnomah County, the average waiting list is about 2 months for someone who is trying to get into alcohol and drug treatment program. Even folks that are committed through the courts for alcohol and drug treatment program are on a waiting list. If there's, when they do get into treatment, you know, through the courts, if those people choose not to show up and come back, we have no mechanism to, you know, try to get them to come back in. The resources are so tight that even those court-committed alcohol and drug treatment clients are falling through the cracks. The other point I'd like to make is that in response to Representative Calori's question to the previous witness, is only the state can raise the alcohol tax. The counties can't, and I'm 100% confident that the Multnomah County Board of Commissioners would have 5 votes to raise an alcohol treatment tax if you chose to give us that authority.